1 John chapter 1, beginning with the first verse, reads, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that our joy may be full." One thing that I've come to appreciate about the Word of God is that it never grows old. It's relevant. It's pertinent to where we at right now. It's an old truth that's a new truth. This past reality is our now reality. This word never grows old. And God, in his foresight, he knew that the same things that people faced back then, he knew that we would be facing now. What John was writing to the believers of his time, he was writing about false teachers. And the same false teachers that existed then, the same false teachers now try to infiltrate the church now. Gnosticism was just running rampant within the church. As a matter of fact, John goes on to write in chapter 2, verse 18, 22, and 26, he calls them antichrists. He calls them liars who deny the divinity of Christ. He even calls them deceivers. And the warning that he gives us that has come from the heart of God is that if the people back then could be deceived, the people now can be deceived. And so this old reality is now our new reality. Don't get it wrong thinking that you're so firm, so grounded in the truth that you can't be deceived. We need to be on guard. We need to be watchful. There's a bishop that I know that before I was even in the pulpit, you could say he was like my hero. I would watch this man preach, and in the recesses of my soul, I would think, I want to preach just like that. The man had a skill. The words that he used, he had a craft. And on top of all that, there was an anointing upon his life. I've seen people just respond to the word and their lives transformed by this word that he preached. A very charismatic individual in his own personality. You can say he was like a hero. He's no longer preaching the gospel. He was excommunicated from the church. All his friends had left him. He started preaching a word that anyone could get to heaven, whether you believe in Jesus or not. He went on to preach a word that you don't have to be a Christian to get into the presence of God. As a matter of fact, how about this? He became so deceived right now, he's pastoring a church in California right now that's a gay church. Just to show you the depth, the progression of deception. And you know what? After I read this scripture over and over again, it saddens me all the more because I've heard this man talk and other people have gone to him to try to bring correction and to sway him, and he wouldn't have it. As a matter of fact, he goes on to even teach that hell is just a myth. And you know what? It breaks my heart that when I hear him talk, how far away he's moved from the gospel. The same thing that happened during John's time, the same thing happens today. So John, with the heart of God, he writes this letter, not only to the believers of then, but to the believers now. He's writing this letter to you. And so he's trying to put you on guard. He wants you to protect yourself. He wants to arm you, equip you, that we would not be deceived by false teachers. So he writes in verse 3, That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you that you may have fellowship with us. Everyone say may have. In the Greek, it's the word echo, and it's a verb, and it actually means to hold on to a possession that you already have. In other words, keep holding on to this fellowship. And this is how John writes to us in order for us to guard ourselves from deception. He says, keep on holding on. In other words, read it like this. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you may keep on in fellowship. Needless to say that the title for this evening's service is just entitled that. Keep on keeping on. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word. I don't know where we would be without it. Lord, you have left us a testimony of your heart, your mind, your will. And Lord, it is our desire, Lord, that we would sit down at your table and eat as much of your word as we can. So Lord, that we may please you in your heart, your mind, and your will. We thank you, Lord, for the moment that we have right now. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would open our hearts and open our minds to receive your truth. We pray, oh God, that you would bring change in us, that you would bring conviction within us, and that, Lord, you would use tonight as another stepping stone in the process of becoming all that we want to be, all that we need to be, the Lord, that we would mirror you. Use us as your witness, and above all, Lord, in this context, keep us from deception. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is truly the kingdom. In Jesus' holy name, Father, make us one. Amen. That which you have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you may keep on keeping on in fellowship. I want to show you in a word this evening to even expand upon that which we are to keep on holding on to. John writes, keep on holding on to the fellowship with the Word of God. With the Word of God. This is what he begins with. He doesn't begin with anything else but with the pure Word of God. He says, keep on keeping on in the Word of God. I got a friend of mine that I grew up with. I've known him since the sandbox, ever since we was in the third grade. And I remember that we used to cut from school. No, I mean, during one school was out, not come from school. But we would leave school and we would catch the bus going through downtown. And downtown at the time, the building's no longer there, but it was called Jenkins Arcade. And it was an office building with dentist's office and everything else above. But on the very first floor, they had this bakery. And he and I would always go into this bakery, and they always sold these little rainbow cookies. So on the way home, we would get these little rainbow cookies. Well, one day we're standing in line inside the bakery. And so there was a woman in front of us who wasn't paying attention to the woman working behind the counter. Now, you got to mind you, we were like the age of 11, 12 at the time. And so the woman working behind the counter, she asked the lady in front of us, can I have your order? Now, mind you, so what I'm about to say, just keep it in context. So she turned and she says, And you know what? My friend and I, we were only like 11, 12 at the time. We busted out laughing. Now, I know that sounds so stupid, but when you're 11 and 12, you're pretty much dumb. Everything is funny. And so we laughed, and we laughed so hard, tears will come down out of our eyes just because she turned and said, And we just thought that was just the funniest thing. You know, it's been years since I've seen my friend. But every time we do talk, and we're talking, that's 30 plus years ago. You know what? We could be talking about anything. Football, the Word of God, he is a believer. We could be talking about anything. And you know what he'll do out of the blue? He'll turn to me and go, And you know what? We would start laughing all over again. And you know why we would start laughing all over again? You got to catch this. Because we had a shared experience. And this is what the Apostle John does. If you notice when he writes this, he doesn't open it up with, "I, John." He doesn't have to validate who he is as an apostle. You know what he does? He goes straight in other words, he's writing to the believers from a shared experience. What I did when I searched through all of 1 John, I come to find that there are over 20 different phrases, ideas, and words that did not originate in 1 John. But you know where it originated? In the Gospel of John. And so what John is saying to the believers, he's using phrases, he's using a shared experience to try to hold them to believe onto the Word, to keep on holding on in fellowship with the Word of God. In other words, what John is doing is he's taking them back to something that originally changed their lives. There are many people that have an encounter with the Word, but they never have an experience with the Word. There are a lot of people that are in churches who encounter the Word, and there are a lot of people who never experience the Word. There are a lot of people that come to church and they leave the same way that they came in. What John does is he reminds them, keep on in fellowship with that very first word that changed your life. That very first word that you came into contact with. Come on, all of us haven't been saved all our lives. And I know that we've had to have not just an encounter with the Word, but an experience with the Word. Come on. How many of you ever remember that first taste of food that you've only heard about but never tasted before? How many of you ever been, you can realize in your mind that first NFL game that you ever been to? How many of you can realize, you know, come on, we go right here, that first kiss that you may or may not have had, or near miss that you almost had? You know, there are a lot of firsts in our minds that it doesn't take much. It can take an old song, it can take a smell, it can take almost anything, and our minds go right back to that very first experience. This is what John is doing. And he's saying, in order for you not to be deceived, you not only need to have an encounter with the Word, but you need to have an experience with the Word. What was that first word that you heard that brought a conviction to your heart? What was that first word that you heard that brought joy to you? What was that very first word that you had, listen, that brought tears to your eyes? What was that very first word that you heard that wiped the tears from your eyes? What was that very first word that you have? John is saying, in order to guard yourself from deception, we need to keep holding on to that very first word we heard. Because you know what Gnostics do? You know what deceivers do? They will take away from the Word, or they will add to the Word. And if you've had an encounter and an experience with the Word of God, and you hold on to that, then you'll know, you can't add to my first time, and you can't take away from my first time. Sadly enough, many Christians forgot from where they once came. And what we need to do is we need to remind ourselves. Come on, you know what? I've been saved for a long time, but you know one thing I can never get away from? I remember where I was and how I was before I met Jesus. And guess what? That keeps my praise fresh. It keeps my worship fresh. It keeps my adoration for God fresh. Because you know what, Lord? I don't want to go back there, because I remembers what I remembers. What John is saying, hold on, keep holding on to that very first word that you heard. Allow that word to regulate your mind. Allow that word to keep you. The second thing he says, just straight from the Word, he says not only to keep on holding on to the Word of God, but he says keep on holding on to the fellowship with us. Look at me in your Bibles in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, John writes, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 26, John writes, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. In the same chapter, in verse 19, John writes, They went out from us, describing the ones who were deceivers. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out. Two questions that's on the table. Who's the us? He's saying, in order to defend yourself and guard yourself from false deceivers, we must keep on holding on to the word, and we must keep on holding on to the fellowship with the us. Who is the us? Well, on one hand, we can answer that question like this. The us is not the them. Because if the them was with the us, then the them would have never left the us. But because the them left the us, they're now called the them, and not the us. On the other hand, I know the brother over here just looked at me like, what? Let me explain it to you like this. Who's the us? The us, going back to point number one, is the ones who fellowship and they rally around the word of God. That's who the us is. Anyone, any group that comes together, and they don't just come together for the sake of fellowship, but they come together and they rally around the word of God. That's who the us is. Because you know what? When you're gathered around people who rally around the word, they will keep you in check. They will keep you accountable so that you won't be deceived by false deceivers. He needs to stay in fellowship with us. With the us. You know, it's amazing to me how a lot of people, they don't want to be around the us. But see, the us can be defined as anyone. It crosses over denominational lines. It crosses over your skin color. It crosses over. You don't have to look like me. You don't have to be like me. You don't even have to smell like me. You know what? The only determining factor that makes us the us is the word of God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what kind of accent you may have or may not have. It doesn't matter. The difference maker, the deal breaker is, let's be us when we rally around the word of God. Listen, some of you may speak in tongues. I'm not going to hate on you. You look like a tongue talker. I'm just kidding. Some of you may speak in tongues. I'm not going to hate on you. Can we still gather around the word of God? Some of you may have some doctrinal issues that may not line up with exactly like mine, but can we still come together on the word of God? That which does make a difference on who Jesus Christ is, on what the gospel is. Can we still come together on that? Because this is the us. Too often, we want people around us who are just like us, and then we eliminate everyone else who is not like us, and we make them them. And you know what? We're all going to be surprised if the us make it into the heaven. Because then we're going to find those who do rally around the word of God, who may not look like us, who may not talk like us, who may live on the other side of the tracks than us, but they're still a part of us. And you know what the Bible says? John is encouraging the believers. In other words, let's take it the inverse, the converse. You can be deceived if you're not rallying around the word, and then if you're not in constant fellowship with those who are rallying around the word. But he's saying, keep yourself, guard yourself, so that you won't be deceived. And then John finishes it out with this. He says, not only to keep on keeping on in the fellowship of the word, and keep on keeping on in the fellowship with the us, but keep on keeping on in the fellowship with joy. Look at me in verse 4 in your Bibles. John writes, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. I really love this. Now you know that there's something that's supernatural that takes place when the us comes together, and then the us comes together around the word of God. Do you know that there's something supernatural that takes place? You know what God does? He'll come and he'll mark your situation. He'll come and mark where you are. He'll show up. Let me give you an example. Let me give you a word picture. I had a dog. We just had to put to sleep. We've had him for 14 years. His name was Tipper. He was about an 85-pound pit bull. He looked massive. We called him Tipper because it was pit spelled backwards. And so instead of Tip sounding a little sissy, we just said Tipper, which sounds even more sissier. I would take Tipper out, and he was just the nicest dog. I mean, pit to catch frisbees and just a great dog. I can never take Tipper out for a jog. I can never take Tipper out for a nice long stroll. You want to know why? How many dog owners do we have here? Because every time you try to walk Tipper, he wants to stop every three steps and he wants to mark the area. How can you get exercise? Like, okay, stop. Okay, and stop again. That's all that he does. Either Tipper will smell something that'll cause him, I need to mark this area. Gotta get this. I need to mark this area as mine. Or Tipper will go to an area that hasn't been marked before and he still has a need to mark that area as mine. Do you see what I'm saying? This is what God does. When the people of God, the us, come together and we rally around the word of God, guess what God does? He'll come and he'll mark your meeting. And you know what he'll mark it with? Joy. Joy. Come on. Psalm 34 says, oh, taste and see. When you taste and see the Lord, you've only got to come to one conclusion. He's good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When we fellowship with each other and we're fellowshipping with the word of God, listen to this dynamic. Jesus made a promise. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, wherever two or more, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, there I am in their midst. You know what he's just done? He will come and he will validate your meeting. He will validate your fellowship. Right now, he's validating his presence in this place because I know there's got to be at least three of you here that we're in fellowship in the name of Jesus and we're in fellowship with his word right now. And he will come and he will validate your meeting. Let me tell you something. If you ever leave church, if you ever leave Bible study, if you ever leave fellowship and you're not feeling an experience and experiencing some joy, something's wrong with you. Because see, God is a promise keeper. God is not a man that he can lie. He makes a promise that I will come and I will mark your meeting when you meet around my word. And guess what? Deceivers, false teachers can promise you joy, but they can't produce. Your pastor can promise you joy, but he can't produce it. You can even try to scrounge up some joy for yourself, but you can't produce it. There is no meeting like a Holy Ghost meeting, as they say in the church. There is no meeting that has when you're centered around the word of God. Because God will come and he'll mark the meeting. This is what makes the church so distinctive. Because we come together and we come together around his word. There are a lot of entities that come together, but there's nothing like the church. I don't care if it's the Kiwanis Club. I don't care if it's a family reunion. No meeting is like a meeting when God's people come together, and we come together because of his word and for his word. God will come, and he will mark the occasion with himself. And you know what? When you've come and you've tasted the word of God with the people of God and something supernatural takes place in your heart and in your mind, it gets addictive. Come on, some of you know what I'm talking about. Every one of us got this itch. We got this thing within us that needs to be satisfied. And you know what we'll do? We'll try to fill it with everything, whether it's women, whether it's men, whether it's drinking, whatever, shooting, whatever, football, whatever it could be. We will try to fill that void looking for that something that will only come from God. When you're in fellowship and when you're fellowshipping around the Word of God, God makes a promise that He'll come and He'll validate your fellowship. And you know what He'll validate it with? Himself. Himself. Isn't that why you came to church? Isn't that why you're even in fellowship? Because there's just something about God and there's just something about the people of God that you can't find nowhere else. That's why we're here. And what John is saying, in order to keep yourself from being deceived, keep on keeping on in fellowship in the Word. Keep on keeping on in fellowship with each other, with the us. And keep on keeping on in the fellowship of God's joy, which you'll never get outside of the us and the Word, because they all work together. This is what John is saying on how to guard yourself, how to be equipped to stand firm against false teachers. Let us pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, right now just to forgive us. Father, give us a greater appreciation for your word. Give us a greater appreciation for the fellowship where you have us. And Lord, cause us to be sensitive to your presence in our fellowship around your word. For Lord, you are a promise keeper. And we pray you, Lord, that the next time, from this moment forward, that every time we come together and we come together around your word, that Lord, we will come with an expectation that, Father, you would meet with us. So, Lord, forgive us for not handling, for not treating your word as valuable as we should and could. Forgive us, Father, for being slack, even in the fellowship that you have given us. Now, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to fill us with your spirit, that we would be obedient to your word. Again, Father, we thank you for the fellowship on tonight. And above all, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' holy name, to God alone be the glory. Amen.